I'd like to say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful today that God has blessed us to see this a new day, one that wasn't promised to us, but God blessed us to wake up on this morning. And I know if you like me, you're thankful just to see this morning, and giving God all the glory. If you want to call this morning, visit with us, and I'm a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored guest. We pray you open your Bibles now. Acts chapter 28, we'll be studying from there. We believe that in the churches of Christ that the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. Yes, we believe that Jesus hung on the cross in Jerusalem, shed his blood that washed our sins away. If we obedient to him in baptism, that same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. This morning, the last lesson from the study of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 28, I entitled this sermon, Some Believed, and Some Believed Not. Some believed, and some believed not. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28, we'll start there in verse 11, pick up there when we left off from last week. The Bible says, and after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Now, I want to think about in terms of, as I've been teaching the last two, three lessons, we're on a ship. We've been riding for a while. We're trying to get to heaven. The ship ride get us to heaven. And that's where I want you to think about it today as we close this lesson. Now, this is Luke saying after 3 months, they departed in the ship of Alexandria. And on its ship was a sign. On the side of the ship, if you can visualize the ship, Castor and Pollux. And we own a ship of Zion. I'm talking about the church that's going to make it to heaven. And it's labeled. There's a sign on the church that's going to make it to heaven, and it is the Church of Christ. Paul said in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There's only one ship that's going to make it to heaven, and only one sign. One label that's on that ship, and that is the Church of Christ. So I want you to think in terms of getting to heaven, making sure if you're visiting with us today that you heard what I just said. There's only one ship that's going to make it to heaven. And you have to read the label. Kind of like Brother Keeble used to say, you take a can of corn and a can of beans, and you just fill it, they feel the same. But if you want to know what's inside that can, you got to read the label on the outside. You go to a church building that has some other name other than Church of Christ on it. I can guarantee you, on the inside, there's something different. The only label on the can would be Church of Christ. And inside, you'll see teachings of the Church of Christ. Teachings such as singing without the help of any mechanical instrument of music. Taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, as you witnessed we did this morning. Praying. Men will be preaching. They won't be referred to as reverends or doctors, or neither will they be referred to as a father. And in the churches of Christ, inside that can that's labeled Church of Christ, you'll see where they'll be speaking where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. They'll give, take a collection every Sunday. And that's the church that's in the Bible. Now, if you don't read the label, you just jump on a ship. You won't end up in the right place. So don't just jump on a ship. We're still talking about a church. Don't just jump in a church and say, I'm going to heaven. Make sure you read the label and that it's right. Now look at verse 12. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. This is, again, Luke. As their first stop is 3 days. It's a 3 day stop in Syracuse. And this is not the Syracuse, New York we know of, but Syracuse. In verse 13, and from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. We came the next day to Petelia. Now, from Syracuse, Luke says they fetched a compass. And you know what a compass is. You got north, south, east, and west. It's something that identifies direction. way to heaven, we got a compass. That compass is called the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. It gives you directions. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to fetch a compass. You can't fetch the Baptist manual, the Methodist discipline, or the Jehovah's Witnesses book. None of those books are the compass that's going to get you to heaven. You got to get the compass to make sure you got exact coordinates, directions, in order to make this trip to heaven. How many on the call this morning have fetched the compass? How many of you have opened your Bible to check the direction of your soul if it's on its way to heaven? I was at a funeral a couple weeks ago, and I just challenged the audience to quote with me John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, and I paused, and everyone, most of the people said, shall not perish. Well, there were some Baptist preachers listening as well to call me about that. They had not recognized. It takes honest people to say they didn't know that one word, shall, is not in that scripture. So why is it that we're quoting John 3:16 as shall not? Because under the Baptist belief, and I was Baptist, it's not about the people, it's about just being not reading the compass. That's really what we're talking about here. If you read John 3:16, it says should not perish. So why did they insert shall? So that all you got to do is believe. Believing alone will not get you to heaven. So I'll talk more about that. But it was interesting. They gave me a call and told me that I brought that to their attention. It's good that they were listening. And my question to them, why don't you guys stop doing that? Stop teaching that and teach the truth according to Scripture. Now, we got a compass in the Church of Christ. We pride ourselves in the fact that we speak what the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. If you're looking for a church that's going to stay with the compass that God has given us, you're looking, you want to stick with the Church of Christ. Now, I'm going to just say this too on behalf of the sign on the building. If you see the sign, Church of Christ, on the building, you should see Bible teaching inside the building. There's some who put the Church of Christ sign on the outside, but they're not doing the things on the inside. So you got to be careful, even if you see a sign, to go in and check the compass. Make sure what they're doing in there is authorized by God. Now, for those of us who are in the Lord's church, the compass, the Bible, is to give us instruction and correct us. Now, if you don't want to get to heaven, then you won't follow the compass. If the compass say go north and you go south, you're not going to get to your destination. But when we come to worship, thank God, things are going good at the building. And everything is coming on soon. Hopefully, we'll all be back going to the building. We symbol there for the place of worship. And there, every time we come together, just like right now, we are fetching a compass. We are checking the scripture. You should check behind Brother Brooks. You don't take Brother Stroud's word, Brother Brooks' word, for because we are preaching. You read the compass. Read the Bible. And you stay with the Bible. If Brother Brooks leads the Bible, don't you go with me. Because I will misguide you, and I'll lose my soul too. So I have to watch the compass. And in the compass, I'm told that I got to speak. I can't add to it, and I can't take away from it. If you're lost in the woods, and the compass say go north, you don't want to go left, you don't want to go right, you go straight. If you got a visitor, a friend with you saying, it says go north, but I think we should go south, then you got to trust more in the compass than you do in the person who's saying it. For example, that person could be your mother, could be your uncle, could be your sister, could be your brother. Now, some believe the compass, and some don't believe the compass. If you believe the compass, then you believe the compass, meaning the Bible, over your own mother, father, grandfather, grandmother. Doesn't matter who he or she is, your preacher, your pastor, no matter who he is, you believe the Bible over that person if you want to ride on this ship to get to heaven. Every time you read the Bible, you're reading the compass to check your direction. Now, how many of you are on the call are following along this morning, checking the compass, checking your direction in life? Are you headed in the right direction to make heaven your home? Yeah. A compass will tell you when you're going wrong, when you're going right. Just like Christians, all of us in the church, understand this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can say we have not sinned. If you do, you're a liar. But here's what you can say. I know what to do when I'm sinning. As you heard this morning, many made confession. As I've sinned, I confess. That's part of what the compass they do. If you, after you get baptized, then you can make a confession and ask for forgiveness. Now, check your compass. Hopefully that makes sense what I just said to you. Now, verse 14. What we found, brethren, we desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Yep. So here's Luke saying, so we found, we fetched the compass, we came to Regium, and we stayed there, and then we went to Petelia, and when he got to Petelia, he says, we found brethren. I mean, these are members of the church, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. So they wanted to stay with these brethren as they headed toward Rome. Now, let me make this application this way. If you're headed in the right direction to get to heaven, you should find some brethren on your trip. Why? If we're speaking the same thing, if we're trying to get to heaven, if we're headed to the same place, we ought to run up on other people who are going that same direction. That's the beauty of being in the church. That there are brethren, and we've proven this through the nationwide gospel call that we hosted this year, and I must say that the Highland Heights congregation is the lead congregation during the pandemic of taking the congregations of Churches of Christ and uniting us against racism. We united the Churches of Christ who participated in our program, thousands upon thousands of members were restored. Many were baptized. They were all brethren. Many preachers, 180 plus speakers came on. All our brethren were speaking the same thing. We proved through the nationwide gospel meeting call that this is validated, that when brethren can preach from the same book and preach the same thing, then we can bring people to the Lord. I want the members of the Church of Christ to know, of Highland Heights, we should be very thankful that we are an evangelistic-minded congregation. As your leader, this is something I've pushed since I've been here. And we have taken the lead, not to boast about it, but to be edified, to be encouraged, to be thankful that God gives us a congregation of believers, a brethren among our congregation that can see outside of the walls of Highland Heights, 1005 West New York. Many have come through our congregation that have been taught by us that are now scattered throughout Houston and other areas. They are teaching the things that we taught them. That's God expanding the borders of the kingdom. And I only say this because when you're headed in the right direction, you will find brethren like we found over the last year in the midst of a pandemic. We have had our greatest, in my ministry, since I've been preaching for 37 plus years, the greatest experience of outreach and unity and sound doctrine. And if everyone on this call who are members of the Highland Heights family, you should feel that God blessed us and put us in a special place to be the leader among congregations of Churches of Christ. Why did you say all that, Brother Bruce? Because if our mindset is of such, we understand the Great Commission is the primary focus of the Lord's church. It is the Great Commission that Jesus gave to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the Great Commission, which means that we do not focus on the walls of 1005 West Little York as our only place of evangelism. Our place of evangelism is to spread this good news throughout the world. In addition, we are one of the few congregations that are now on television in the Houston area advertised as a result of the nationwide outreach. How did that happen, Brother Brooks? Because there are some brethren who have come to know Brother Brooks and Brother Stroud, Brother Flunder, and now Brother Austin Wiggins co-hosting with us about it. These things brought brethren together. And the world knows that Vida, Texas is known as a place of the KKK, but there's a Lord's church right there. And brethren who worked with us as we tore down the walls of racism without saying anything to anyone. Now, why am I spending time on that? Because I'm saying this is going to be a primary focus for us, ongoing as it always been. But it must be in the forefront of every lead on this call that our effort must be to expand the borders of the kingdom and never visualize ourselves as a congregation that has to grow to be 10 to 20,000 here in Houston. We can save as many as we can. That's great. But our gospel, the gospel is to be go through the world. And that's what we should be doing. Now, when you got brethren who love the Lord and we all trying to get to the same place, we're going to run up on each other. And if you're on the call today, and you are living a life and call yourself a Christian member of the church, but there are no brethren in your life, you probably need to check your compass. If your party friends are still in your life, you need to check your compass. If your drinking buddies are still in your life, you need to check your compass. If you're still living a life that has no brethren or sisters in it who are trying to help you, then you can understand that your direction is wrong. If we follow the Bible, we will find Christians who bleed just like us. There was a time when I thought, man, there wasn't a lot of people who bleed like me anymore, who don't bleed that we should speak with the Bible. That old motto we had, speak with the Bible, speak and be silent with the Bible. Silent. I was concerned about that. But after the nationwide effort, I found that we have, as we found in the Old Testament, when Elijah and them thought they was alone, and God said 7,000 who did not bow to Baal. God always got men and women who were staying with the truth. So how might I edify you? I encourage you to be thankful, to be appreciative, to be at a congregation who have not left the basic teachings of the New Testament. That's my encouragement to you. And to have brethren in your life that are there to help guide you and to get you to heaven. Let's go back to verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, Luke says, the brethren there heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns. And when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now here's the beauty of having brothers and sisters of like precious faith who believe like us, who believe like we do. On our way to heaven, on our trip in life, and on this ship, there will be church members who love the Lord that will meet you halfway. See, These brothers heard that Paul and them were showing up, and they came to meet us. We are, as a family, have an obligation to meet halfway. I talked about what I mean by halfway in just a second. Other members of the church. See, there are going to be members who start to feel weak when they're going through storms and trials and tribulations. But there'll be stronger members that will meet them halfway and pick them up and help them get back on their feet. When we fall, when members fall to sin or to trials and tribulations of life, they're going to need brothers or sisters to meet them halfway. This is what should be going on our lives. All of us who love God should love lost souls. And lost souls don't just, we're not just talking about people who have not been baptized before. We're talking about members who are struggling. You know, there's a whole lot of things that can cause people to fall and get weak. You know, we've got people who are losing loved ones and they're feeling weak. Some are because of the lack of fellowship now, this pandemic has put us in stalemate, if you will. Some are isolated. Some are going through COVID-19. Some are still infected. Others are getting infected. Family members are dying. People are struggling through this. And so what are our responsibility is to meet halfway, to try to help them through it. People who are so burdened now through bereavement because they lost their mom, a sister, brother, a family, a son, a daughter, a grandmother, grandfather, need brethren, sisters. When we say brother, we talk about male and female, to meet them halfway. That's why when we ask for the grief class, if some of you who've gone through grieving, you recovered. But some of us are still recovering, including myself, trying to get back to normal. But those of you who've done it, owe it to those of us who still need you to join in the call. There are family members on the call right now who are grieving. And we're appealing to Brother Stroud and Brother Foreman to put the grief class back on. What I found in the grief counseling grief class is that when other people talk about their experiences and how they made it through, it was more comforting to know that I wasn't alone. Someone who had lost a wife before. Someone who would cry with me and cry, understanding my pain. We need you. Why wouldn't you meet that member halfway if you go through that? Oh, maybe you moved on. Your loved one, you're over it. But remember the grief period now. Don't forget that you, at one point, were not where you are today. So there are members out there who need you. And this is a time for us to help. There are members who've gone delinquent, who've fallen due to some sinful, being overcome by sin. Hey, step back. When people step back and they fall into sin, they need a member to meet them halfway, not to beat them up when they're down. No, no, no. That's not what this is about. We don't find people who fall and then go beat them up. Say, you should have known better. Or, no, you need to go over there and sit down somewhere and do something. No, no. We need to help them. Help them get up. Help them recover. And then encourage them. Say, that's okay that you fell. But it's not okay to lay there. It's okay to get up. What's okay is you get back up. And maybe you're on a call this morning and you've missed a few calls. You've been missing worship. And you've done that. Acknowledge it. Get back up and go back to work. What are Brother Brooks doing this morning? I'm meeting you halfway. Why you stay halfway? Well, let me say it like this. You can't make someone do anything. There's the old saying you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. What does that mean? The best thing we can do is try to meet you halfway. To try to encourage you. But at the end of the day, you got to want to make it to heaven. You got to want to make it. You got to want it. And if there are people out there that are listening today, on this call is a great call. We've had a great year last year. We're soon going to be having a meeting to show the accomplishments we've had as a congregation. Many of you don't know of that. Great accomplishments. Great giving. Great restorations have taken place. Large calls. And I believe God has used the pandemic to bring some of our members back home. We come back together. We need to rally. To rally, to get those who have fallen, to help them stay strong, and to help them re-engage. What are we doing, Brother Brooks? We're meeting halfway. And when they came to meet Paul, the Bible said, Paul saw. He saw the response of his brothers and sisters after he'd gone through all those terrible experiences of people criticizing him, falsely accusing him. He's finally almost in Rome. And as he get there, when he get to this place, there's a brethren waiting for him. And the Bible said he took courage. See, it strengthened us. It gives us courage to press forward, to ride out the storm. I always think of a song, Brother Kirby always say, ride out that storm. What a touching song. That we can't give up. That we hold on. And Paul rode out the storm. And when you ride through a storm and you end up making it to the shore where you have to shake off the beast, as we talked about last week. And some rode in on planks and boards, but they all made it safe. Why was that? Because there were brethren, sisters, who worked together to help everybody make it home safe. Some of you on the call may be the ones I'm talking to. If you had calls, someone has sent you a card, somebody has called you. And I know there are members of our lives, no doubt in my mind, because I got cards. But they're just sitting at their home. They're not letting the pandemic stop them. They're sending through the mail an encouraging word. And I think all of you have sent me encouraging words, some through phone calls, real book of praying for us. Just hang in there. How many of you all have done that to somebody? You don't know what that does for a person to give a little card in the mail. Just to say, I love you, I'm thinking about you, and I'm praying for you. Or to send encouragement when you see your ministers working hard. To get a card, some of them just appreciating the lessons, or just through the group meeting, we come back and say, hey, thank you for listening. I know we may not always respond, but those comments are encouraging. The group meet is encouraging. All of you who are encouraging one another in group meet, don't take that lightly. Those words of encouragement are meeting those members halfway. And some of you on the call need this. You need to call. And then some of you on the call who have not been doing this, I pray that this morning, that this word I'm giving you from the book is that you say, you know what? I'm going to be a member that's going to help others by meeting them halfway. Do something. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Send a card. Get the addresses. Send it to the new members. Send it to those who are bereaved. Send it to those who are sick. Those who are in the hospital. Those who need encouragement. Are you that member I'm talking to? Can you do that? Would you do that this week? Why? Why should we do this, Brother Brooks? Because there are people like Paul and Luke who've gone through storms and finally made it to a place where they joy and courage. When they heard, when Paul saw them, all they could do was thank God. You know, I think when we get back to the building and we see each other, we're going to be saying thank God. Just to see you. Just to be there. And I don't know if I'm going to hug y'all. immediately. But I was talking to Sister Willie Lawrence the other day. So I don't know. I might way from a distance, you know. But all jokes aside, but we all understand the impact that we can have on each other. I thank God for my assistant minister, Brother Stroud, the impact he has in my life when we can get together and talk and to be there for the trustees who working with me. These men all on one accord, and we all thinking about each other and working together for the cause. It's been a great journey over the last few months. We had some tough decisions to make, but we did it. We did it, and we're doing it. And there are some of you who met us halfway, been encouraging us. That's important that you continue to do that. We will be having upcoming meetings with the brother, the rest of the brothers, now that we got things organized, kind of got it under control. And we'll be having congregation meetings. I think everyone will understand that all we want you to do right now is just meet us halfway through encouragement, through edification, because the end goal for all of us, hear me clearly, is to get to Rome. That's Paul's goal. I'll talk about why I say Rome here in a minute. Paul wanted to make it to Rome. On the trip, all of us got to think about it. I'm a halfway Christian. What do you mean by that? I'm going to meet others halfway. Trying to get them into Rome. Now let's go back to Acts 28, verse 16. Hopefully you see, I'm just trying to make some application to the trip to heaven. See, and Paul said in verse number 16, and when we came to Rome, note that he in Rome. He'd been trying to get there for several trip rides. You remember that? The centurion delivered the prisoners of the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier. They kept him. Now, Paul has withdrawn, receiving blessings because he followed God's course that God put him on. On our way to heaven, we can make it to Rome if we follow God's course. After we are baptized, you follow the compass, get baptized. It's important that we stay on course and we keep checking the compass so we don't miss our spiritual blessings. Number one, how do you stay on course, Brother Bruce? By being a believer. Number one, some believe. Some believe not. Believe in the Bible. All of it. Believe that every word of the Bible is right. You can't be 50%, 90%, 99%. You got to be a believer. Faith, Romans 10, 17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Our faith come from believing the word of God. That's the first and most important thing. If you believe the Bible, then you will be baptized as commanded by Jesus in Mark 16, 15 to 16. That's the beginning of your belief system. Did you obey him? Did you get baptized? Do you believe in the one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one church, as Ephesians 4, 4 through 6? If you believe in the Bible, you can't believe in but one church. Can't believe in but one Jesus, one God, and one Father, and one Holy Spirit, and one hope, which is heaven. So how do we stay on course? You got to get on course first. You got to get on course by believing in the Bible. Then once you believe, stay on course to be and be faith by being faithful in your relationship with God. Stay on course by studying the compass, coming to Bible class, getting on Wednesday nights. Saturday. Some of you are missing out on some great teaching on Wednesday. You're not on course. When you're not checking in, you're not coming to Bible classes, You're forsaking the assembly on Wednesday nights. You're missing out on good study of God's compass that will develop your faith and strengthen you. And that's a mistake if you want to make it to Rome. It's a mistake not to get on this evening's call at 3:30. You are off course because you're not following the compass. One thing about a compass is that you have to be taught how to read it. The scripture is what my job, Brother Stroud's job, the teachers of the Bible, is to teach you, to show you what it's saying, and to make an application so you can understand it in the simplest way so that you don't miss the point. God gave us teachers. That's the purpose of teachers. And you are a student. And you ought to study. And that's how you stay on course. By getting involved. Stay on course by being that meet no other Christian halfway, as I've talked about. And don't make excuses. Get involved. Why? We're trying to make it to Rome. Trying to make it to Rome. Listen to verse 17. It came to pass. After 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of Rome, of Romans. When they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. The first thing I want you to note is this. Paul is in Rome. All the prisoners made it there. But Paul was treated differently from the other prisoners. He had his own soldier by himself. And now he meet with them in Jerusalem. And he is telling them, I'm here because, not because I've done anything, I'm a prisoner from Jerusalem in the hands of the Romans. But they examined me. They would let me go because there's no reason for me to be a prisoner. He says, they didn't want to listen to me, so I was constrained to appeal to come to Rome to talk to Caesar. Not that I had all. Not that I'm guilty of anything, but I'm going to fight for my cause. See, once we reach Rome, I want to point to you to think about Rome as judgment. See, when we die, we got to face the judge. He was trying to stand before Caesar. So Rome, in my application I'm making, is judgment. When you get on the ship, remember, if you're on the right ship, you'll get there and there will be no oughts. There will be no nothing that you can be found guilty of. You say, why is that, Brother Bruce? Because on the ship of Zion is forgiveness. When you get to Rome, you'll be just like Paul. There's no reason to be. There's nothing that I've done wrong. Why is that? Well, baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. And the judge, God, said, your sins I will remember no more. You want to be just like this. Will you stand before God forgiven? No one. That you've done everything to be forgiven. When God examines you, will he find no cause for death, spiritual death? See, Paul was able to say, I committed no wrong. I have no reason to die. I have no ought against me. And the only way you can stand before God and say that is if you've been baptized for the remission of your sin, washed in the blood of the Lamb, that you're a member of the church that was purchased by that same blood, and that you walk in the light, 1 John 1:5, the following verses, as he's in the light, and that blood kept you cleansed the whole time on your trip. Did you confess your fault? Did you repent of your sins? Did you make change? When you get to Rome, you'll be found not guilty. Here's what you need to work on to identify how your trip going to be, or what your result's going to be when you get there. Your conscience. Your conscience will tell you right now if you're guilty. If you're living in sin, if you're willfully sinning, then you won't make it safe. If you willfully sin, what does that mean, brother? You're doing something that you know is wrong. Nobody has to tell you it's wrong. You know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Since you know it's wrong, then you can do something about it, because no one can do it for you. No one can do it for you. You're going to have to make this decision on your own. You got to want to make it to Rome and stand before the judge not guilty. Now, who on this call understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. No one has to tell you what you're doing wrong in most cases. There may be some things you say, I didn't know that was wrong. I think maybe a few of those. But in most cases, if it's willful, like not worshiping, not coming to church, living when you're unmarried, committing adultery, fornicating, lying, cheating, stealing, you know it when it's wrong. Bitterness, anger, wrath, hatefulness, hating people. Now, we all know these are things that are not pleasing to God. Living a homosexual life, same-sex marriage, all the stuff that's going on in the world today. We know this is wrong. It's wrong. If you know it's wrong, you can't stand before God if you die today knowing that you're living in sin. Now, who on the call can admit, if I were to die right now, heaven would not be my home? I cannot stand before God and say I'm innocent, because it's willful. Now, you say, what's the difference between willful sin and one that's not willful? Well, here's what you need to know. If we sin willfully, there's no more sacrifice for sin. God is not going to send Jesus back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the following verses. He's not going to send him back again. He sent his son. His son died on the cross and shed the blood and washed our sins away and to keep us safe so that we can make it to Rome. We can make it a judgment and be found not guilty. Justified by faith. If you do what the Bible says, confess your faults if you got a sin going on. Repent first. There's no sense in trying to fool God. You can't fool him. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. So what do? Be honest with yourself. Know what your will for sin is and start working on trying to repent of it. And until you repent, you're not going to be forgiven. So you got to repent. Means you stop doing it. That's what it means. You stop doing it, and then you confess it and move on. Living a life, riding the ship in the church, trying to get there. Verse 20. For this call, therefore, I have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for hope, for the hope of Israel, I am bound with the chain. This chain. Paul was preaching a message of hope for Israel. Jews and Gentiles. Only the gospel, my brothers and sisters, gives a message of hope. If there comes someone on the call this morning that needs the message of hope, is that God so loved he gave his son, and his son gave his life on the cross. And that blood, if you're obedient to God, will give you that one hope. Let's talk about Ephesians 4:6 through the following verses, 4 through 6. That one hope is the hope of heaven. And only until you hear the good news that Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross, and obey that through baptism, we never have this hope. So is there someone on the call this morning who need the message of hope? It's the message of Jesus. In verse 21, the Bible says, and they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came to show or spake any harm of thee. You see, when you make it wrong, there's no one can send a message to God and say, hey, this, I know this about this guy. They're not going to have no information coming to him. Get it wrong, they didn't. If you're innocent, there won't be no sins going there with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. See, when you've been forgiven, no secret things don't go there. No one can call ahead and tell him that. So these guys said, we haven't even heard about you, Paul. But he said, but we desire, verse 22, to hear of thee what thou thinkest. As concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken again. Now, they had heard about Christianity, but they had no information got the wrong. All that, them false accusations, everything they were making, he'd get up there and he said, we ain't heard nothing about that. These Jews have not heard anything about Paul, but they heard about Christians. These people want to hear more about this sect. The sect they're talking about is Christians. At that point, they were called Christians first in Antioch. And so now they've heard about this group called Christians, followers of Christ. And so they tell Paul, we want to hear more about y'all. See, that's the way it should be with us. When people come around us in Highland Heights, when people come around us in life, we should not fit in with just normal people. We should be something different about it. We should not just fit in with the religious crowd of everybody believing in God. Just like some would want me to do at a funeral, which I'll never do. I won't ever just fit in as if I'm a believer like everybody else. I'm gonna stand out at that funeral. And I'm gonna tell the people there's one church, there's one way. I'm not gonna go along with the crowd, everybody going to heaven. There's a homegoing celebration. I'm not gonna do none of that. I'm not gonna do that. Well, I don't fit in with that group. I don't fit in with people who just want to make people feel good. No. We shouldn't fit in with the religious organizations of today's religious group, the sects, that are out there teaching people these false teachings. We should stand out. I should not be just like other preachers. Everybody should know, huh? Don't go with Brother Brooks over here because he don't believe in base biking. That's true. That's true. Don't go to Highland Heights. They're not going to be clapping and standing up and waving their hand and partying and having praise team, praise dancing. That's okay. We don't fit in with the norm. We fit in with the few. And that's what Paul is doing here. This is the way it should be, Highland Heights. When people see us and they come and worship with us, we don't fit in with those who have left the truth and those who have veered from the truth, and those who are not following the compass anymore among churches of Christ, we should not fit in a nationwide, a national lectureship among churches of Christ with people, or brethren who have left the truth, or a citywide lectureship. Their brethren want Brother Brooks on lineup, and they have left the truth. Don't expect them to call me because I don't fit that group. Why is that? Because it's not just a regular religious crowd for me. It's about the compass, following the Bible. I won't ever be on an alliance of denominational preachers in the city. My picture right there with the rest of them aligning. No, because I don't believe like that. I don't teach what they teach. And I'm not going to be in no alliance. And so here's Paul. Paul have made it there to Rome. And these people, because they've heard of the Christians, they want to know more about them. In verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. Paul teaches all day long. Now, because these Jews wanted to know more about the church, about Christianity, they came to Paul and he expounded and testified about the kingdom. So like Philip did in Acts chapter 8, and Simon, Acts 8, 9 through 13, he was preaching the kingdom. And when the kingdom of God is preaching, you're preaching the church. Jesus said that in Matthew 16:18-19. Colossians 1:13 said, "Will deliver us from the power of darkness to the translated to the kingdom of his dear son." We have the kingdom of heaven we're trying to get to, and the kingdom of the Lord, which is the church. And then, so when we preach, we're preaching the church of Christ. We're preaching heaven. We're preaching where God is at. We're also preaching where the King of Kings is King of his kingdom, and it is the church. That's Jesus the Christ. Listen carefully. If we want to make it to heaven, where God is at, then we must expound and testify and teach to those who want to hear more about the church. Can't be ashamed. You can't preach Christ and not preach his church. Ephesians 5:23, he's the husband of the church. They tell us that. And we know Christ is the head of the church. So you can't have one without the other. Many people want Christ, but they don't want the church. Okay, it don't look like that. Kind of like wanting the body without the head on it. He's the head of the church. You can't have the church without Christ. So if I preach Christ, then I got to preach his church. Now, in verse 24, the Bible says, "And some believed." That's where my title comes from right here. "The things which were spoken." Notice, "And some believed not." That is the case as it is today. When we expound and testify and use the compass, there's going to be people who believe it, and there's going to be people who won't believe it. But it's not our job to make people believe. It is our job, as Paul did, night through the morning, from morning to evening, excuse me, he taught. My job is to teach. Our job is to teach. The problem won't be for those who believe. The problem will be we'll lie with those who don't believe. What are we to teach? Nothing but the Bible. Nothing but the Bible. If we teach the Bible, the individual will decide if he's going to believe it or he or she is not. And in closing, verse 25 through 28. "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed." See there? They agreed not. After that, Paul had spoken one word. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hear and you shall hear, and shall not understand, and see and you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of the people waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them." Verse 28, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation is God of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." For those who believe, they will believe. It'll be their heart. Their ears will hear what they believe. Their mind will believe it. They will hear it. They will understand it. They will see it with their spiritual eyes. And they will hear. And then they will believe and obey. Their salvation has been sent. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them to non-godly and worldly lust, that they should live soberly and righteously in this present world. Titus 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God has been sent. Salvation through his son Jesus. And it has appeared to all men. The grace that brings salvation is Jesus on the cross. He was grace and truth. He wrote the information in the book, the compass. You got to believe it. You got to hear it. You got to believe it. Here's what you need to do. if you want to be saved this morning. If you want to make it to Rome, make it to judgment when you go stand before God. And you want to hear him say, well done. You got to believe that God so loved you, John 3:16, and he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That son came and lived among men. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He stood before Pilate. They whipped him. They mocked him. They beat him. They spit on him. Put a crown of thorns on his head. A tree on his back. Led him to Calvary. Executed him with nails in his hands and his feet. He hung between the two thieves to give us salvation. He hung there, you all, that we could have this hope of eternal life. And if you believe that, if you're on the call this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you some believe not. What category will you fall in? Do you believe without ever seeing Jesus that he shed the blood on the cross? Do you believe his words that he said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Do you believe all you got to do is believe? Or do you believe what Jesus said? We got to believe and be baptized. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Again, in 1 Peter 3:21, he said, baptism does also now save us. Now, are you a believer? If you're a believer, then you will believe baptism the first time I read. I gave you three or four scriptures right there. Baptism is where it all starts. And then you'll believe. After you believe, then you'll repent. I mean, I haven't been baptized. Then you need to be. Time to repent. Luke 13:3-5. Jesus said, if you don't do that, you're going to perish. Number four, you got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before Father. At the judgment in Rome, every knee going to bow. And every mouth going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to do it while you're living. Step four. Step five. Got to get baptized. Be washed in the blood. Revelation 1:5. When you're baptized, there's water and blood. Same thing that came out of Jesus' side, John 18:34. Pierce him in the side. I came blood and water. Same blood and water by faith you step in baptism. That blood washes sins away. And then the Lord then will add you to the ship. It's going to make it to heaven. The one with the right label on it. The right sign on the side of it. Acts 2:47. Praising God, having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily that you should be saved. Paul told him what that label was. Romans 16:16. He says, salute one another with the Holy Ghost. The churches of Christ. The ship is going to make it to Rome. Judgment with no one only guilty of anything will be the Church of Christ. And then after that, you got to live faithful. Once you're on the ship, you got to stick to the course. Read the compass. Follow the Bible. Do what it says do. Follow the compass. And you'll make it to Rome safe. You'll be all right when you stand before the judge. If you're on a call this morning and you're a member of the Lord's church, we're trying to meet you halfway this morning. Won't you let us meet you halfway? Do Brother Brooks' message this morning. Message of hope and encouragement. Hopefully, if you're on a call this morning, you, one of those Christians say, I just want to repent of my sin. You do that. We get ready. Have a song of encouragement. The fountain of freedom. That blood is flowing to save you. It's flowing from Calvary's hill. It's Jesus' blood that will save you in baptism. That same blood will keep you safe if you stay in the light. So if you're a member of the church, you say, Brother Brooks, I want to do more to meet other members halfway. Then do that. If you're on a call, you need to confess your sin. Do that. If you're on a call, you need prayer. Let us help you. Let us pray with you. Eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. As the righteous, we are to meet you halfway. Pray for you and to be there for you when you arrive on your ship ride. And to be together at the end as brethren, to join each other. So one day, when the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. What a day of rejoicing that will be. To members who are going through some struggles right now, we pray God's blessing upon you this morning. But one day, you all, one day, the If we stay on course, we'll make it to Rome. And we'll hear God tell us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We'll be there where God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And there'll be no more crying, and no more dying, and no more hospitals. No reason for doctors. No more grief classes. No more losing mamas and daddies and sisters and brothers and husbands and wives and children. Because we'll make it safely if we stay on course. Who gonna make it, Brother Bruce? Those who believe. Some believe, and some believe not. Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Don't let that be you. At this time, we ask our song leader to come on. Get ready to lead us in a song called Found for Free. Those who are visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ, you desire to be baptized. You desire to obey this morning and get on the right course so you can make heaven your home. Hit 5-star on your phone and tell us, I'm visiting. I appreciate the message. I want to obey. We'll take your confession this morning and we'll baptize you today, no matter where you are in our listening audience. If you're a member of the church, we appeal to you with all love in our heart. If you fall and come back, if you need prayer, ask. If you need to make confession, do that now together. We sing the song.